Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What does it mean to be a Christian? And how are we to live as Christians? You know, I thought a couple of good questions to start with today. And you know, I like having interactive sermons. So, how would you describe an answer to both those questions? What does it mean to be a Christian? And how are we to live as Christians?
Follow blindly and do good.
Follow blindly and do good. That's good. What else?
Live by faith.
Live by faith. What else?
Be a good neighbor.
What are you doing? Are you afraid you might say something wrong? There's nothing wrong.
Love one another.
Love one another. The one of the two commandments that Jesus gave. Love your neighbor as yourself, and love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and your Well, what does the Bible teach us? I did some research, and I found a book that's called Gospel Assurance and Warnings by Paul Washer. I thought it was good, both positively and negatively, so I want to share with you. First of all, we're taught by Jesus in the parable of the sower in Mark 4. Parable of the sower. You know, he's out sowing seeds. You know, some of it falls on bad ground. Some of it falls on good ground. Some of it is wasted. You know, when you get into that parable, there's a lot of stuff that happens, but there's only one way that grows the plant. Okay. So, what it is in this parable, there's four types of soil. There's the one that flat out rejects Christianity. That's the one that falls on the rocks and things that will never grow. You got two that seem to be interested in Christianity, but they don't prove they're genuine. In other words, they are distracted by the cares of the world or disinterested after a hardship. Well, what does that mean? You know, I was thinking about that. Have you ever seen somebody in church that prays real loud, puts a lot of money in the collection plate, goes out, and the next day at work, he dumps on all the people that come to him? All right, so is he a Christian? No. He's acting like a Christian. And remember, Jesus was always condemned because he hung out with the hypocrites. What are hypocrites in the Bible? Actors. So that means that this man needs Jesus more than ever. Anyway. Make sense? I think so too. But we do have the one good soil that truly believes to bear fruit for Christ. Well, how do we know if we're the ones that are planted in the good soil? Well, one of the things that Paul Washer says, he's got 12 tests. And I thought it would be interesting to share these with you and get your take on them. I won't say anything until you hear them, and then, you know, we can go into this. I do think that as believers, we can believe on our own salvation. That's been promised to us, earned on the cross. And this list, you know, in some respects, will assure you. But as the small catechism tells us about law and gospel, in the law of God, we want to hold up God's word as a mirror. Remember, Luther puts it in three ways. First of all, it's a curb we trip over. It's a mirror we look at that reminds us we're sinners. And then finally, it's a guide to take us to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as I've said before, can you have gospel without law? No. Can you be saved by the law? No. You're saved by the gospel. Well then, how do you need law? That's what we're going to get into. Alright, first one. We know that we are Christians because we walk in the light. Our style of life is gradually conformed to what God has revealed to us about His nature and will.
Now, one of the things we have up here,
remember, in His light. Why is in His light so important? Well, if you notice, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. How many times do we have light in our readings? It was really pushed in the psalm. Why? Because the light of Christ is what fills us. However, our style of life is gradually conformed. Now, is that gospel or is it law? It's law, isn't it? But yet, is law always wrong? Let's think about it. Number two, we know that we are Christians because our lives are marked by sensitivity to sin, repentance, and confession. We know we're sinners, we ask for forgiveness, and we are forgiven, right? That one I agree with. We know that we are Christian because we keep God's commands. We desire to know God's will, strive to obey it, and mourn our disobedience. Right, that's not the thing. Is that a gospel statement, or is that a law statement? We know that we are Christian because we keep God's commands. That's law. Yeah. We desire to know God's will, strive to obey it, and mourn our disobedience. Why is that law and not gospel? Okay, remember, gospel is what we receive, not what we do. But yet, based on what we receive, we want to follow the commandments, right? So if we follow the commandments, are we following the law? Now you can say, yes. One of those things I find it interesting. Alright. Number four. We know that we are Christian because we walk as Christ walked. And we walk with Him and we talk with Him. That's what in the garden. So, we desire to imitate Christ and grow in conformity with Him. Okay, be like my Father as I am like my Father. Jesus tells us to do that. But yet, if we're doing things, it's law, right? Now let's see. If Jesus tells us to do something, is it law or is it gospel? Yes, both. Because if it's coming out of Jesus' mouth, it's gospel. But if He's telling us to do something, it's law. If Jesus says it, therefore it is. It makes it interesting when you start thinking about it. All right, number five. We know that we are Christian because we love other Christians. We desire their fellowship and seek to serve them in deed and truth. But what's missing in that statement? Love other Christians. Love our neighbors as ourselves. We gotta love everyone. Even with halitosis and steaming teeth. Right? That, when you do the showers at Jesus Loves Your Ministry, you gotta cut toenails and everything else.
No,
they
cut their own toenails.
Oh, they do? Okay.
But you do see that they haven't bathed in a week or several months or everything else.
Yeah. But yet you still love them and you help them, right?
Yes, we do.
And love your neighbor as yourself. Number six. We know that we are Christian because of our increasing disdain for the world and because of our rejection of all that contradicts and opposes God's nature and will. Now that's from 1 John chapter 2. Let me read that one again. We know that we are Christian because of our increasing disdain for the world. when we see sin and we see wrongdoing, hey, I don't like it. We have to fix it. And because of our rejection of all that contradicts, that opposes God's nature and will. Luther wrote a treatise called The Two Kingdoms. And it comes from when Jesus says, give unto Caesar what is Caesar, and give unto God what is God. Okay? Two kingdoms. Do we owe allegiance to both? Yes. What happens when they disagree? The question, isn't it? In fact, Luther says that if your government is doing something evil, and let's say you're insulting, you're fine. Here's a great question. Number seven. We know that we are Christian because we continue in the historic doctrines and practices of the Christian faith and remain within the fellowship of others who do the same. Now, think about this. What did the Apostle Paul tell us to do? He tells us to go to worship with other Christians. Why? Well, it's a support group. I mean, we're all going through the same things, aren't we? But yet, when I see doctrines and practices of the Christian faith, that means we're following rules and not following teachings. Jeff, I'm going to quote you. We were in a Bible study, and Jeff said something that was profound. We were talking about the law, and we were talking about making rules. And Jeff said, we make rules because we don't have to think when we follow. It's easier to follow a rule. It's just like when the Jews made up 613 laws, it's easier to follow a rule. But Devin, did you were talking about putting WWJD? What would Jesus do? Great question. What would Jesus want us to do? I think it's a better question. Make sense? Number eight. We know that we are Christian because we profess Christ to be God and hold Him in the highest esteem. And that's from 1 John 2 again. I agree totally with that. Do you? Okay. Number nine. We know that we are Christian because our lives are marked by a longing and practical pursuit of holiness. I'm going to repeat that. We know that we are Christian because our lives are marked by a longing and practical pursuit of holiness. How does the Catechism say that? Well, God is the creator, the creation is finished, correct? Jesus is the Redeemer, redemption is finished. What's the third person of the Trinity? The Holy Spirit. Our relationship is with Him, isn't it? Okay? He's the sanctifier. In fact, Luther called it sanctification. What does sanctification mean? Becoming holy. So when I look at this, by a longing and practical pursuit of holiness, is that right on? You bet. We know, this is number 10, that we are Christian because we are practicing righteousness. We are doing those things that conform to God's righteous standard. Do we do righteousness or do we receive? Baptism said both. Is that true too? We strive to be righteous. We don't practice righteousness. We try to be righteous. Why can't we be righteous? Because we're sinners. But folks, we try. Remember, I've told you this before. If you're trying and you get 51%, are you good or bad? You're good. But, you know, as human beings, we want to be perfect. How many times can you be perfect in anything? So, if you're at 51%, celebrate the win. If you're at 60%, celebrate the win. If you're at 99%, you know, do cartwheels if you can. See what I'm getting at on that? Number 11. We know that we are Christian because we have overcome the world. 1 John 4. And if you notice, all these are John, the first John, up on that very end of it. Although we are often hard-pressed and weary, we press on in faith. We continue following Christ and we don't turn back. We press on in faith. Why? Is it easy or hard? It's hard, so we got to press on, especially when it gets difficult. Right, number 12. We know we are Christians because we believe the things God has revealed concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. We have eternal life in Him alone. Why? Because He paid the price on the cross. He ransomed us from our sin. All right, interesting 12 points, aren't they? But yet, they're out of the Bible, aren't they? So I have to ask, were these points written by God or by man? Written by God. But yet, as we look at things, you know, it's a little bit different take, but yet, it's by John. As we find in 1 John and the book of John. Alright, so what did God have to say about being a Christian and what did He teach? Well, today we were real blessed because we had the Galatians 5 reading. Alright, pull out your, the epistles in there, I didn't put in the gospel. Pull out your bulletin, let's look at this. I love Galatians 5. You've ever been in my Bible study, I quote it all the time. Christ has set us free. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. We are free in our Christianity. We're free in the Lord. What is a yoke of slavery? It's the law. You've got to remember who his audience is. It's the Jews. Okay. So you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Great hymn, isn't it? But it's true. And here's what we were talking about. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what's the one word? Love. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. Well, if you love each other, why do you tear each other down? Why are you negative instead of positive? Is it funny? No. Is it mean spirit? Yes. What did you say?
I said it's worldly.
It's worldly. But yet, how many of us do it? We're all guilty of it, not. But yet, if you're tearing down, are you being a Christian? No, a Christian will build up. So, what we want to do is get out of the flesh and be in the Spirit. So, keep in step with the Spirit. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. So, we have the Spirit on this side, we have the flesh on this side, and we're always bumping into it. All right, so what's the flesh? The works of the flesh, I'm in verse 19 now. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension of division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like that. Is Paul pretty clear about that? Sure. And each one of those can be an idol. You'll have no other gods before me. Okay. I wish David was here today because he always says that the first commandment is one of the most important in the Bible. Why? Because it's telling us that we follow God. We follow Jesus and we don't let these other things encroach on our lives. What should they do? Because that's what the world is. Paul stresses the results of the works of the flesh and being under the law instead of the gospel of Jesus in this sense. But, then he comes back with, I warn you, as I warned you before. Okay? By the way, where is Galatians? Good question, isn't it? Turkey. Western Turkey. Okay. So what we see today as an Arabic nation was the center of Christianity for 1,000 years. What was Turkey? The Byzantine Empire. The Eastern Roman Empire. And it didn't fall until 1453. Stop and think about that. We know Rome fell in like 380, right? That's from the Visigoths. So for 1,100 years more, Christianity existed in the Roman Empire. And so in the East and Africa was the center of Christianity. Stop and think. Africa. Are we talking about white, blonde, headed, blue-eyed people? No. We're talking about Arabs and blacks. They were the center of Christianity. I wonder what the white supremacists would think about that. No, but that's the thing. Was Jesus white? No. He's probably an Arab. But, as Paul says here, I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, I preached on that a lot of them, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, there is no law. So the Spirit is the gospel. All right, very clear about that. If you find yourself doing things that aren't in the Spirit, they're flesh. You need to look at yourself. Those who belong to Christ Jesus will have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. One of the things I take an oath on when I am ordained, my vow is to preach, teach, and confess Christ crucified. Why do I preach, teach, and confess Christ crucified and not Christ resurrected? Because he died for our sins. It's the cross that's the importance. I mean the resurrection. That's where the build is. So, preach, teach, and confess Christ crucified. Because Christ was crucified, we are crucified. Where do we become crucified? Throughout every day. Baptismal time. When you go to that baptismal, you are baptized into the death and life of Jesus Christ. The death and the life of Jesus Christ. So, one of the things that I usually stress at funerals, which I haven't had to do a lot, is we died the day we went to that baptismal. Why? What happened to them? With what? You're right. I'm going with that. What enters us at that? The Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit enters us, we die and we are reborn in the Spirit of God. So we're reborn into love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We don't think of that all that often. Fine. So, I got some questions for you. How do you live in the Spirit? First question. Do we build up or do we tear down? You should. It's easy to tear down. Do we compliment or do we criticize? We try to come. Anytime criticism comes up, do we speak well of others or do we deride them who love them? Yeah, you know, my dad always said it's better to remain silent and hear wise than to open your mouth and remove all doubts. Okay. You want to know something? That came out of the Bible in Proverbs. That's a good question. Oh, wisdom. Are we inconsistent in loving our neighbors as ourselves? Hey, it's always said it's easier to hate than love. Why? Because you have fear. How many times have you kept on feeding hate?
It's hard for us to love ourselves.
That's where it comes
from. That's where it starts. It's hard for us to gratify ourselves.
Is it gratify or to accept?
Accept ourselves.
Yeah. You know, love your neighbors as yourself. It starts with yourself, because that's what that commandment says. But yet, how many times are you never happy with yourself?
51%.
Now, I'm looking at you in the whole head of school. Well, there is, but the thing is, I think it starts not only with love, but with acceptance. That's what you're talking about. If we accept ourselves as we are, and we enjoy ourselves, that's the first step to getting better. Yeah. No. So, yes, there are some times they have. But I think that's right on
that.
Well, it is. And you know, the thing is, give me a job.
We do live here right now. There's something.
Our body is trying to talk to you, too. I said, he's trying to talk to you, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We just don't, we don't shut our mouth long enough to listen to
him. But I usually say it's a 2x4 in the middle of the forehead to get my attention.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, is it easier to live in the flesh, or is it easier to live in the spirit? It's easier to live in the flesh. You know, as we talk about, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus want us to do? Live in the spirit. So, your Christian friends, live in love and share. Because isn't that what the two commandments are from Jesus? Means to love your neighbor as yourself and love the Lord your God. Love. You know, one of the things we are going to do later on this Sunday is we're going to have a series in here called The Challenge of Islam. And I'm going to open it up to the community too. We have a videotape series, CDs. You can tell my age. But it was really good because we did Texas. Surprising anything up in this little town, we had about 40, 50, sometimes 60 people, including Muslims. So we started in Iowa. But in all the thousand names of Allah that are in the Quran, in fact, that's a quote of it. You know which one's missing? Love. It doesn't say. So how can it be a religion of life? But, as Gene said, that love does not begin with others. It begins with ourselves.
I think it's on that thing. Or whatever, it's shot for just a second and talk to the little shit. We can do the to that. But we don't take that time to stop and think.
No, we don't.
I don't know how you do that. I know just for a second, you can pray in like 2 tenths of a second. But a prayer doesn't have to last for a long time.
Oh, no.
It's all you have to do is Father help you, Father you did it.
You know, it's a great time to pray. I'm
right.
Because like you said, they don't have people. But one of the things that,
I had to stop driving the brake.
Be quiet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Be quiet.
One of the things, you know, I'm 3 hours short of a degree in psychology. Have you ever noticed that? I have 3 hours of psychology in 36. But one of the things you get into advanced psychology is called transactional personality. Remember the book on the 17th, I won't get you to look at it. That's transactional. But the whole idea is that if we don't want to react, we want to act. So if you get that impulse to say something real quick, you're reacting. Guess what you're in? Your flesh. Right? It's all right to be quiet for a minute and think. Because we're trying to change our lives, what Jesus wants to do. And that's not easy. But again, remember I said 51% you're doing the job. Right. So give yourself a chance. Show them. Because isn't it love that makes the world go around? Right. When you're living in the love of Christ, you've got to keep your hearts and minds. It's Christ. Amen. Okay.